In the name of our Redeemer and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen. Who is Jesus? 2 years after Jesus began teaching and healing, he invited his disciples to reflect on this question when he asked, "Who do the crowds say I am? And what about you? Who do you say I am?" The common people of Jesus' day thought Jesus was a wonderful person, maybe even the prophesied second great Elijah or other prophets come back to life. Jesus brushed those opinions aside without even discussing them. People holding those views thought highly of Jesus, but they were not even close to understanding who Jesus really is. The apostles knew their Old Testament scriptures. They knew the Old Testament was filled with God's promises that he would send the Messiah, also known as the Christ, to rescue people from their guilt and the punishment of their sins. 2 years earlier, when Jesus called his first six apostles, they were already convinced that Jesus was the Messiah. After spending a day with Jesus, Andrew rushed out to find his brother Peter and to tell him, "We have found the Messiah, that is the Christ." During the next 2 years, leading up to the time of our text, the apostles were with Jesus continuously. They saw him perform miracles. They heard his divine teaching. 2 years of seeing Jesus on a daily basis deepened and firmly established the apostles' conviction, Jesus is the Christ, promised by God through his prophets of old, sent from heaven to reconcile us with our Heavenly Father. There are and always will be those who claim that Jesus was just a man, and that Jesus never claimed to be God. The Bible tells us differently. Time and again, we see Jesus claim divinity by using the words, "I am." And this was absolutely no accident. That's how God described himself to Moses in the burning bush. "I am who I am." Listen to the claims that Jesus makes about himself in the Gospel of John. Jesus says, "I tell you the truth, before Abraham was born, I am. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If a man eats of this bread, he will live forever. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die." Putting the unanimous understanding of the apostles into words, Peter said, "Jesus, you are the Christ of God." Peter used the New Testament Greek word Christ that means the anointed one, the equivalent of the Old Testament Hebrew word Messiah. Therefore, Peter is confessing that Jesus is the Savior, the long-awaited Messiah. Jesus is the person Isaiah in chapter 53 referred to when he wrote, "He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought him peace, brought us peace, was upon him. And by his wounds, we are healed." Some people call Jesus their Savior, but they don't believe that Jesus has done absolutely everything for their salvation. Rather, they believe they still have to do a little something to be saved. They call Jesus Savior, but they believe their right conduct and good works accomplish part of their salvation. Sometimes we can fall into those same thinking errors, the same trap, believing that we have the ability to do certain behaviors that make us acceptable to our Heavenly Father, make us pleasing to our Heavenly Father. The Bible is clear that grace and works do not mix. In Romans we read, "If by grace, then it is no longer by works. If it were grace would no longer be grace. As Christians, we see our salvation as entirely a gift from God. We are no longer hostages to the devil and desperately in need of doing something for our salvation. Jesus the Christ, the Messiah, had to suffer many things because God's justice demands that all sins be punished. So in perfect love and in perfect justice, the Father offered His Son to be punished in our place. On the day He rose from the grave, Jesus said, "Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms." Jesus had to suffer many things because of our Lord's love for us, unworthy rebels. God the Father's love for us, sinners, led Him to rescue us from our guilt and the punishment that our sins deserve. And it became necessary then for Jesus the Christ to die. Jesus came into this world to take the consequences of our sin upon Himself. He has fulfilled everything that God in His law rightly demanded of us. Down through the ages, what do you think of Jesus has been the key question. And it remains the key question today. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Don't ever forget that a clear confession of Christ is the foundation on which the church is built. Always see that the most important thing you and I can share with unbelievers is Jesus, who He is, and what He has done for us. We do well to always have the mindset of the Apostle Paul, who told the Corinthians, "I resolved to know nothing while I was with you, except Jesus Christ and Him crucified." God determined that it was also necessary for Jesus the Christ to rise again to prepare the pathway by which we too will rise from our graves and to assure us that eternal life in heaven is ours. To let us know we too will rise, our Lord promised in 1 Corinthians, "In Christ all will be made alive, but each in his own turn. Christ the first fruits, then when he comes, those who belong to him." May the good news that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God, the good news that he has risen and lives be the sure foundation for our faith until the day when we too are raised to see our Savior face to face in glory. Amen.